The African continent is home to one of the largest remaining prizes for consumer-facing companies and investors in the world. And the African consumer class has been a difficult thing to pin down for some time. Regional household consumption reached $1.6 trillion last year, fueled by a rapidly growing population and rising incomes. And that's according to the African Consumer Class report entitled Finding the Dynamic African Consumer Class, which was released by Frame recently. Now, for companies looking to invest and operate and grow in these markets, such a rapid shift in consumer demand requires some granular sort of geospatial analysis. InterFrame, and I've got Ben Leo, the CEO of the VC-backed startup Frame, on the line, which is beyond just a startup now, is really developing a formidable reputation in the marketplace. Ben, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be with you.
Now, you bring some fascinating technology to bear on this whole problem to try and answer these questions of locating and defining the African middle class. Your founders and your leadership have focused on the continent for decades. You've held senior positions in the White House, the African Development Bank. We see the Center for Global Development represented amongst your leadership and the One Campaign. How was Frame born?
Out of frustration, like many businesses are, from a variety of different vantage points, whether it was investing or advising companies on how to enter and expand effectively across the continent, all of the co-founders, of which I am one, were dealing with this intense frustration in a very personal basis, where we were stuck in what I call the tyranny of national statistics. Everything was too aggregated to be able to match the unit of analysis for a decision, for an investment decision or a business expansion decision, which, as your listeners will know, is oftentimes very local. You need to know what the size of a market is, or consumption patterns, or different kinds of behaviors are at a neighborhood level, at a city level, and all of that kind of information, which is required, was missing. We actually, in the early days, would have gone out and bought it and just used it for our own internal purposes, but it wasn't there. We didn't have confidence in what might be there, so we built it. We started as some ad hoc solutions that were internal tools, and about 3 years ago, we realized the power and relevance of the kinds of techniques and the data that we were bringing to bear and the value that it could provide across many different use cases. So we started what is Frame in a formalized way, and have been growing very rapidly since.
Now, what is that tool that you've developed? What are those techniques that allow one to break through the tyranny of national statistics, as you call them?
Yes. Yeah, so what we are doing is bringing the most powerful techniques, 21st century technology, that is very commonplace in, say, the American market, or in some European markets, and bringing it to bear to the African continent. So we are taking training data. So we use algorithms to be able to produce this hyperlocal data on population across dozens and dozens of different characteristics. And our machine learning algorithms are populated with geotagged household data across countries, regions, the entire continent. And we merge together with satellite imagery and remote sensing data to produce these hyperlocal data sets on populations down to a 1 square kilometer resolution. And it's available across the entire continent, with the exception of Eritrea and Libya. Outside of those two countries, we have this very rich, powerful data. And the algorithms have proven to be extremely powerful in their predictive power. On average, they'll have 95%+ predictive accuracy to what a population looks like at a local level. So with the advent of cloud computing, household survey data, and these machine learning techniques, we are now able to do what most thought was impossible just a couple of years ago, and it's available for the entire African continent.
That is truly phenomenal. What have you learned from past attempts to try and size the African consumer class? Because it's been a tricky exercise to define and categorize and measure for a while now.
It's been very, very tricky, and that's why we put out this this flagship report, which is available on our website, fame.io. People can download it and use it and give us feedback if they have thoughts or further questions. So the changes in the past are a couple fold. There's been great efforts, great attempts by the African Development Bank or some of the investment banks to be able to size this African middle class or consumer class. The challenges for them have been not having access to the same kind of data sets. So you might have a coverage gap, only a handful of markets that they would come up with estimates. But the bigger challenge, particularly when you look at the African Development Bank's efforts about 7 years ago now, was the result of problems with monetary-based estimates of income or spending. When they would try to harmonize them across countries and use purchasing power parity and just some benchmark inputs, it became very, very problematic for them just to get those one-to-one comparisons. But because of that general approach, they could never go subnational. They could never go down to a city level, much less a neighborhood level. And the other challenge or criticism with past efforts revolves just around the definition. So the African Development Bank included much lower income households in their definition of the middle class, $2 to $4 U.S. equivalent, which is very low if you're talking about significant consuming power, the ability to be able to purchase premium products and be constituted as a middle class household. And they caught a lot of flack for that. And what we've done is very different with our approach, which addresses fundamentally some of these shortcomings in the past.
Yeah, I recall the AFDB report coming out at the time, and they reckoned that the African consumer class, using those definitions, was roughly 326 million people, or just over a third of the total regional population. It didn't seem to square with people's anecdotal sense of Africa on the ground, and has subsequently been poo-pooed as a result, but it was a valiant attempt. Talk to me about the Frame ABC classification system and how you've improved upon these previous studies.
Yeah, so for the challenges that I mentioned before, we took a very different approach, and we actually adapted something that is used in India by consumer-facing companies, and we adapted it to the African context. And it's a matrix of how many assets you own and the types of assets, and how well-educated the head of the household is. So for South African listeners, there will be similarities to the LSM approach.
Yes.
Some differences, though, but similarities. It won't be a foreign concept. And based upon how many assets you own and how well-educated you are, you get categorized in one of these segments. So it's very robust in terms of its ability to be harmonized across time and space. We're not subject to those same kind of purchasing power parity challenges. And there's also less seasonality in terms of a household characteristics or their status. You can imagine a household with the breadwinner being in the informal markets or in the agriculture sector. What they earn, how much money they have coming in, can be incredibly cyclical, whether it's harvest season or it's holiday season where there's a lot of consumer activity and their sales may be higher and as a result their incomes. Going with assets and education level doesn't have that same fluctuation and gives a much truer sense or a much more stable sense of their purchasing power on an ongoing basis. So for those reasons, we feel really good about this kind of an approach as a step forward in understanding African consumers and being able to really zoom in to that neighborhood or city level to provide actionable data and insights for companies or investors who are looking to make big bets, but they want to be doing so through data-driven methods.
Yeah, in a targeted way to ensure that you're fishing in the right pools there. And one of the key insights from the report, unfortunately we don't have the time to go through all of them, I would encourage listeners to go and download a copy, as you said, is that almost a full 95% of the African consumer class is located in just 20-odd countries. Around 50 of the largest urban markets alone account for 110 million Wachu classes ABC1 consumers. So those are the countries and cities in which consumer-facing companies really need to be playing and building their expansion and go-to-market strategies around. What would you say is one of the key insights to draw from or infer from this report if you want to play in the future consumer meccas of Africa?
Yeah, so you touched on the first one, that there is a significant concentration of consuming power across the continent in a handful of markets. You have what we call the Power Five, South Africa, Nigeria, Egypt, Morocco, and Algeria, where they are the large anchor economies. No surprises there for experienced hands. But there's also the Frontier 15 that we call. This is Ethiopia, interestingly enough, the DRC, Tanzania, Kenya, a number of others. And if companies are looking to expand across the continent and capture this very exciting growth over the coming years and decades as a real driver for their top line and bottom line, this kind of information becomes absolutely essential. So that's one. The second is, as you said, there is a very strong city-based dynamic, and we're seeing many of our customers and other businesses taking a city-driven approach to market expansion. It's not just about Nigeria, for instance. It's about the top 5 or 10 cities in Nigeria, which 10 of the top 50 continental-wide are Nigerian. And it's about understanding how those cities are clustered together so that companies are able to optimize their brand and marketing campaigns, as well as their distribution. So it truly is a city-led opportunity for most product categories. Not all. It's a little different with mass market goods. But if we're talking premium products or service offerings, this is where the target customers are concentrated, and it's really essential to be able to benchmark those cities and clusters of cities side by side to figure out what to prioritize and how to sequence go-to-market plans going forward.
That was Ben Leo, CEO of Frame, with some really indispensable insights into where you should be fishing if you want to be catching the next big one when it comes to the African consumer story. You're listening to Classic Business.